Greetings and salutations, humans and carbon-based life forms. This is your most favorite producer, Robbie. And for some reason, I'm to the left of Jamarl Thomas, which does not make any sense because I should definitely be to your right. But yet here we are. the intrepid Ted Rawl, he is traveling, and the town that he is in, because you see, here in the United States, we can't invest in infrastructure. The entire town has lost power.
Really?
Not just his hotel. The entire town has no electricity.
Wow.
So, I mean, we have $25 billion that we can give for war in Iran. But we can't do anything at all for American infrastructure.
I'm curious. So on the left, it makes sense for us to be, I think Tay would agree with me on this. I am one of those people that believes that state should control certain things, energy, transportation, et cetera.
I agree with that too.
Then how are you on the right, Robbie? Look, I will tell you this. I've had people contact me, send me emails, long emails, and says, I'm a hardcore right winger. Mm-hmm. I have, I believe in blah, 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 blah. And he says, however, I like what you say. Yeah. And I think to myself, then maybe you're not as hardcore on the right as you think. Because I'm not saying stuff that's on the like, how do you justify that on the right, believing that state should have control over those things?
Because it's sort of a monopoly. Because, like, for example, here, imagine where you are in Richmond, it's the same way it is here. So here we have the Flathead County Co-op. It's called Northwestern Energy. There's no competition. So you've got this one conglomerate. They own the infrastructure. There is no competition. And so if there's no competition and if they have to go to the state to get approval to raise rates through the utility board, then why stop pretending that it's a free market thing? Because there's no competition.
Agreed.
So, it's already socialized. We just have this sticker on there that says, no, you actually own this by virtue of being an American citizen. No, I don't own it. You're a monopoly. You're controlled by the government. So let's just stop pretending that this actually is anything other than what it is, which is a grift by the government.
Agreed. What do you mean a grift by the government?
Well, that's what it is. Yeah. We've also got our very first donation. So Soden over there on YouTube. Let me see if I can read this. Been in Micronesia and Guam the past few weeks and I'm back. Agents, what do you make of the SecDef testimony on the Hill? And do you think he'll be prosecuted when a new administration takes over? So I guess that's a good place to start.
That's interesting.
Do you think it'll be prosecuted?
So it depends on the administration. And it also depends. Let me actually, I guess that leads to kind of a second thought and second question. And I'll use that to piggyback on this. Okay. Do Democrats actually, are they against the war in Iran? Now, when the king was here and they were talking about, war in Ukraine, they were like, it's like you stupid idiots. You're applauding for this nonsense. Are they really against the war?
No.
Because how are they going to prosecute Hegseth if it's not going to be about the war in Iran? I don't know if there is real opposition to it in a sense.
No, there's. I mean, we know that there's not, because if there was, they could just convene Congress and say, we're not going to fund it. I mean,
well, Republicans back it.
Well, definitely. Sure. Well, Republicans do, but I mean, but there's a lot of bills that come in, and you got to have majorities of these things. You're able to appeal enough, right wingers like me who are opposed to this and think that maybe Congress should be the one that declares war as opposed to presidents. Yeah. And so, if you peel 8, 9, 10 Republicans away, they're dead in the water. They can 100% do that.
I don't think they're going to prosecute Hegseth over this. I think they may impeach Trump. But they may impeach Trump for, they'll find something. I guess my point is, this should be illegal. What they were doing in Venezuela should have been illegal. All of those things should be prosecuted in a functioning system. Like in a functioning system, they would say the president has lost his mind. This is outrageous. We can't just murder fishermen in the Caribbean, right? We can't just have wars of aggression, even though we do.
But we can.
Bush,
We obviously can because we are.
Correct. There's no such thing as international law. Agree. I guess my thing is, I don't see them prosecuting Hegseth over this. I mean, I guess the question would be, would they impeach Hegseth would even be in office? I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it.
Nope, I don't either. Did Ted send you what the rundown is going to be today?
Let's see.
Because if not, we've got right here in the show notes. We can 100% make this go.
Where are the show notes? Oh, here we are.
Yeah, and Soden says his question is geared towards the boat strikes. No one cares about the boat strikes.
The wet strikes?
The boat strikes. The southern accent's getting in the way. The boat's getting blown up. The fishermen getting turned into fish food.
Yeah, I know, but people should care. It's why is your government murdering fishermen? And why is your government kidnapping the leader of another state using this nonsense lie of drugs? Like, it's that, right? It's like the government, there's no credibility in it. All of it is so dishonest. And when it's so dishonest like that, the government, media, all of these things lose credibility, which is cancerous to society. I know people think, oh, this is just normal and we can just live in this. I don't think that's the case. I don't think a society functions when people look at the government as being fundamentally corrupt and fundamentally dishonest. It's just, I don't, I
No,
mean,
listen, I agree with you, but I just don't think anybody cares. I think people care about gas prices. I don't think anyone gives a single solitary crap about our government murdering people because it doesn't inconvenience them.
which means that Hegseth is not going to be prosecuted. Trump may be impeached, but that's because they hate Trump. There's a difference in those things, right?
Well, for sure. But I mean, they can impeach him, but they're not going to kick him out. So it's all theater. And all they're going to do is just set up their own president when a Democrat gets elected to be impeached for whatever thing the Republicans come up with. It's just a football. Or do you think I'm wrong on that?
No, I think it's a football also, which is why I think the politics doesn't work. Our political system doesn't work. You have two political parties, both supposedly representatives, and what ends up happening is they play one off against the other. It's like, oh, you guys are concerned about things. So Obama will come out and scream about, yeah, the 1% and blah, 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 picking this stuff up from Occupy Wall Street. And he immediately gets in and installs all of these people from Citigroup in his administration. And then it's like the next guy who comes in pivots off of what was going on with Obama in order to get elected. And it goes back and forth. And the population who may want something fundamentally different, meaning left and right, because I think, I actually do believe this is a sweet spot that a person can run as a populist and get people from the left, people to the right, and on some level keep those people happy against these kind of vested interests. Even though when that person gets in office, he's going to have hell to contend with if he indeed contends with that particular thing. But I think you said this once, you can leverage the population for your political will. And I
No.
agree with that. I mean, Lee Stranahan just passed. Lee was hardcore right winger. And Lee made this point of saying, look, man, there are like three issues that the left and the right could agree upon and use that as the tip of the spear in order to build a political coalition to get in office. Lee was on the right. Two of
Right.
those things I fully agreed with. I think one, less so. But the other two, but I can live with that one, right? Meaning, I'm not a purist. I want to get political objectives accomplished, even if you got to go one by one.
Oh,
I think that,
100%.
yeah, I think there are things that we agree upon. Hell, even in this conversation, right? There are things that we're going to agree upon politically that, and I really do believe that it seems that the American population would accept a president doing stuff that they may be interested in, that the public may not be, providing the public gets what it wants. Like
Right.
this trade-off that I think takes place. And you see it when it's like a president is like, okay, this president cares about climate change. Does population? Eh, maybe not. They'll let you do it, providing you do other stuff. Or a Republican gets in. And it's like, okay, they're doing this stuff on the side. Public will let them do it. Public may not like it, providing the public gets what it wants. But
Well, the
what
thing
we
is,
have, the public's not getting what it wants. I'm sorry, Robbie, please.
but I mean, I like your example about climate change because it's not mutually exclusive. People want lower prices, especially for energy. Well, if you want to combat, climate change, and if you want to, I don't know, maybe lower prices, you can invest in nuclear power. You kill two birds with one stone. Why can't we do that? And we actually have a question for you for Manchild. If Hegseth says the feckless words are our biggest enemy, does the $1.5 trillion budget include a tactical unit of English teachers?
There was a tactical.
If feckless words are the problem, if that's the biggest problem, it's not the unconstitutional wars of aggression. It's not blowing people up. It's not starting a war and then promptly losing that war to a supposed third world country. If words are the biggest problem and feckless words are that, then maybe we should invest in more English teachers. Now, would we have to import those English teachers from India to teach English to the American people?
Right. It's like H-1B-1 visas for Indian English teachers.
Yeah.
Look, personally, I think the budget is the problem. I think the leadership is the problem. Hubris is the problem. Imperialism and this kind of imperialist overreach that these guys deal with, that we require a $1.5 trillion military budget. All of those things are problems. Hegseth is the problem. And I do see the show notes, by the way. Just so the audience would know, we've buried the lead. So markets haven't priced in oil shocks and global economic collapse coming. Yep. There's that. You have our normal people insane, moral collapse, war, and radicalization. Explain. Okay, that's an interesting one that goes with the White House correspondents in a shooting and talking about that gentleman. Oh, wait a minute. Is this for yesterday or is this for today?
Today's show notes, we are on the reparent trap. So we're going to be talking about RFK Jr. and his reparenting of children. Pete Hegseth, I mean, he's actually right there. So we just jumped right on into the right spot. So we're good. And then about the redistricting battle that happened with that congressional district. What was it, Louisiana that got blew up because it was gerrymandered to make sure they had a majority black voting block.
Yes.
So those are the three topics we're talking about today.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I don't really care about that because I don't want to talk to you for a long time anyway.
What did you say? You don't want to talk to me for a long
time? No, I don't want to talk to you for a long
time. You say you've been wanting to.
Yes. No, well, listen. I have the Southern drawl. And sometimes it gets in the way, especially for very smart people like you. And so sometimes what I try to say doesn't come out the way it's supposed to be said.
Keep in mind, I'm from the South.
Oh, I understand that. But
I don't know if you've been like Goochland and these places where it's like a heavy.
Well, no, I get that. But see, you're an educated Southerner. I'm one of those people that from the what they affectionately called the Redneck Riviera.
The Redneck Riviera.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which topic do you want to hit first? Or you can pick your pony.
Hegseth, I think that Hegseth is, I mean, we've already talked about him and nothing's going to happen with him. I'm really fascinated about what's going on right now with RFK Jr. and reparenting. I don't really understand the whole point.
I don't quite understand the reparenting thing. What does that even mean?
To be honest, I don't know. And this is one of the reasons why that, whenever Ted is gone, because he puts these things together, of the three of us, he's the one that puts together what the show notes are. So what reparenting is arguments about reparenting American children, especially blacks on wellness farms, which he proposed building in rural communities across the U.S. Every black kid is now just standard put on Adderall, SSRIs, and benzos, which are known to induce violence. So basically the entire idea is to try and get, it sounds like majority black kids into more stable family units and just get them away from the pill farms, which personally I'm all about.
Let me read this. Cause I gotta be honest. This seems fucking outrageous. As a cursory thing. Let's see, proposal. Kennedy proposed building rural community-based wellness farms for children struggling with addiction, specifically addressing those who claimed overprescribed psychiatric medications. Okay.
Yeah.
In 2024, Kennedy suggested that, quote, every black child is now just standard put on Adderall, SSRIs, benzos, which are known to induce violence, unquote, and offered a solution where, quote, those kids are going to have a chance to go somewhere to get reparented. and live in the community. So he's effectively saying he wants to take these kids away from their parents.
Right.
And put them somewhere else.
Yeah, put them in more, what they consider more stable homes.
I find it to be fucking ridiculous. And just, it bothers me. But let me process for a bit. That seems to be outrageous. All right, let me take it to a different issue first. And then I'll come back in the order to kind of get why I feel this way about it. I had a transplant, a kidney transplant. I had two. Both failed. But when the second one was put in, I didn't go well. I was having pain. I was having excessive pain. And I would point to the doctors like, hey, I'm in pain, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And it's not coming from the transplant itself. Meaning there was something that was going on after the surgery that was causing pain. And the doctor's response to it was basically, I was faking. And in telling the nurses that I was faking. And I was left by myself dealing with this in the hospital for like a week, just in constant pain, with the doctor doing an x-ray, the same x-ray, over and over again, so he could pad the books and say, well, we were looking. Come to find out, I had an abscess that was being exacerbated by the surgery that went on for a year because he effectively said I was faking. When I finally get back into the hospital, they find an abscess, and angry to a level that is breathtaking, was like, so I wasn't faking, right?
Right.
In which case, they had to do the surgery to remove the abscess. Believe it or not, that is more normal than not when you're dealing with Blacks and doctors, which is why I tend to go to Black doctors in general, because that will never happen again. That has made me a particular personality in dealing with the medical profession, doctors, nurses in general. I tend to be very aggressive dealing with them. My point is, that is more normal. It is the way they look at Black patients. It is, you can see it in the stats. If you talk to Black doctors, they will tell you the exact same thing. And I'm saying this weirdness of, yeah, this kid is being overprescribed. Okay, how does RFK know that? Now, you can look at, maybe he's looking at polling and everything else. Fair enough. But is the issue the way that they look at these kids? Meaning of a particular race? And in the same way, you get this kind of allegory of, okay, we're not prescribing enough pain meds. We're ignoring the fact that these people are in pain when they're coming to the hospital. We're assuming that they're pain-seeking for racial issues, even if we don't say it's for racial issues. We can look at the numbers and see it. And I'm saying, is it something that the doctors are doing in dealing with these kids that are overprescribing? Meaning the issue is not, the issue may have something to do with the parents. The issue may have something to do with the living conditions. If you're living in poverty, you're living in difficult communities, et cetera, et cetera. But it may just be the doctors are willing to do this in a way that they're not willing to do it for white parents. I hope you get my point. Meaning his response is effectively, well, these kids are being overprescribed. Okay, yeah, who's doing overprescribing?
Yeah, they are.
We need to take them out of their homes to... You know, and we believe it's better for them to, what, forcibly take kids out of parents' homes? I don't know. I am very dicey on this. I'm very dicey on this.
And again, this is one of the places where we agree, because ultimately the parent, not the state, is the parent. The parent has authority and jurisdiction over that child, not the state. And I don't understand...
I'm okay with this if it's, we're going to, I'm sorry, please finish. Because I think it's a larger issue, but please finish.
Oh,
I'm
no,
sorry.
For sure. Well, because, like, no, for example, no, and, no, you hit the nail on the head. When Thomas was little, when he was in second, third grade, Thomas is my son, for those of you who don't know, he was just really not paying attention in school. And so his teacher called me up and was like, no, Mr. West, I think that your son would benefit from, I think it was Adderall. Is what they wanted me to have. So it says he has attention deficit disorder. I said, no, my son has a case of he's a little boy and he's bored and he wants to go play outside. Right. That's what my son has. You're not going to drug him up. And the teacher really kind of pushed back on it. Just like, no, I really think this is what's going on. And I said, at the end of the day, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I care about what's going to happen. I said, if my son is bored in your class, then you need to give him harder things to do because what you're giving him is too easy. That's the problem. He's a very task-driven kid. If you ever meet Thomas, you'd love him. I mean, he's wicked smart. I'm not saying that because he's mine. I mean, sure, I like him, but that's not the point here. When he gets bored, he checks out because like he's literally like, this is beneath me. It's like, this is stupid. You can give this to someone else who, what's the word? Oh, yeah, it's retarded. You can give this to someone who's dumb. I want something that's going to challenge me intellectually.
Right.
And if you don't do that, he 100% checks out. He looks out the window. He'd rather be, especially if he's younger, go climb trees, go get his rifle, go shoot in the backyard of the house. Because, yeah, we used to do that. If you're in Montana, that's what you do. And so that's just how he was built. And what the school wanted to do was drug him up. What they need is more parents who tell these teachers, no, you're not going to get my kid hooked on these drugs. Stay in your lane. You need parents to stand up and tell the teachers, the schools, and the doctors, you can take these pills and shove them so far up your butt that no one's ever going to be able to find them. That's the problem.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
Well, and I'm curious. No, I agree. They're so easy to look. I'm not, if the kid is having an actual psychological issue where they require some type of medication to, I don't know, moderate the issue. Okay, I get it. But that's not, I don't think that's entirely what's happening. I think you're right. I think for all intents and purposes, they're like, hey, we can't get this kid to conform to my boring class.
Yeah.
And so we need to get the kid drugs in order to chill the kid out. And it's like, okay, maybe a class should be boring, right?
Yeah.
Maybe there's something else that you could do in order to deal with the kid in a way that engages that kid, as opposed to doping them and drugging them up. Agreed.
Sure.
I totally agree. The reparenting thing feels weird to me. Like if you were in a foreign country, for example, Austria, they would have this thing where it's like, okay, we'll let people to get spa days and massages, and we'll send them to resorts for a period of time. Okay, that I kind of get, because
sure,
you know, people need to chill out. Taking children from their homes feels like a violation to me. It feels like a violation. Good luck with that. Do you think there's any chance for RFK to even get this over the finish line? I mean, the Black community is going to feel some kind of way. I'm telling you.
Well, not just the Black community.
I feel some kind of way just hearing about it. And I even like RFK, right?
Yeah.
So if I feel some kind of way, and I even like RFK, and I approved of the stuff that he was doing at the Food and Drug Administration, meaning it's a decent argument to me to say, look, we have all of these kids that are autistic. Okay, that's weird, because this wasn't the case in the 60s. Sure. And what was the difference between these things? And is there something that we're doing environmentally or from the standpoint of our food that is creating this particular condition? Or for that matter, it's a vaccine schedule doing it. And why are all you people, you know, so sketchy about the vaccine thing? And then he produces the evidence pointing out that, look, man, these things aren't necessarily evaluated in the same ways as the drugs. Hey, you had me on hello, especially for somebody who had a childhood illness.
Sure.
Then you point out, okay, in Europe, the food is better. Not by taste, but in sense of quality. And we have all of these things that we allow in our foods that they don't allow in Europe. And does that have something to do with childhood illness? Again, you had me a hello, right?
Sure.
Then you say, hey, we need to take Black kids out of their homes. What? Where did this come from? Like, okay, too far. So I guess I'm pointing out, you had me on this other stuff, even though other people were pissed off about it. When you get to this, it's too far. You haven't even fixed the other thing that you said you were going to fix, and now you're moving to this.
I mean, to be honest, I'd really like to get your opinion on this, because I think there's a correlation here.
Mm-hmm.
Is the breakdown of the family in general, and specifically the Black family, with so many out of wedlock births. You're going to have unruly kids if there's no dad at home to teach this thing called discipline. That's just, that's human nature. I mean, you gotta have, more often than not, having two parents at home puts a kid definitely on a advantage that a kid from a single home would not have. I mean, Is that a global thing? No, of course not. I mean, you're going to have some single parents who rise to the occasion and are able to do it.
Yeah.
But more often than not, though, you're going to have more trouble with kids who are undisciplined if there's not a disciplinarian at home to teach them, thus saith the Lord, you're going to follow the rules. This is something that you have to do. I'm just really curious about what it is that you think about that. Now, how much of a problem is a lack of a dad in the home, if at all?
My dad wasn't in the home.
Oh, I get that. But the exception proves the rule, though, right? I mean, for every Jamarl Thomas, how many kids aren't? White, black, orange, it doesn't matter.
I mean, that's hard. Okay, two things. One, obviously, it takes a village to raise a child, right? Having two parents makes it easier to do that job. And I would argue it has more to do with the two incomes. It's meaning the security, not the fact that the dad is there as a disciplinarian. Meaning you're making the assumption that the dad is the disciplinarian. I will tell you, with my ex-wife and I, she was the disciplinarian. We didn't have any kids, but I'm pointing out that between the two of us, she would be the hard ass in that case if we had kids, not me. And I can even go for, because I don't want to come across as if it's easy single parent. It's not. You have one person who's effectively trying to carry the burden of both. However, if that one person had the income of multiple people or two people, that process is easier. I hope you get my point. No, I think it has more. Agreed. It helps to have both. It is more beneficial to have both. It is more difficult to be a single parent. And that should be obvious. But I don't buy this premise that I tend to put this more on economics than I do on the two parents in a household. And maybe I'm biased because I was a single child.
Well, I think it's related. I mean, honestly, I mean, one of the things, I mean, I am staunchly anti-abortion. If I could, I would have abortion banned like today, like just done. That's never going to happen. So the next step is then what do you do to make abortion as rare as you possibly have it? It's by, having an economic model where having kids isn't a burden, where that way there's not, it's not a punishment to get pregnant and bring new life into the world. So if you're able to have a family that's able to live off of a single income, like you're able to buy a house, have a car, put your kids through school off of one income, that should be the goal. And if the free market can't do that, then there's an argument to be made that the state should step in and do it, because family is the foundation of everything. Killing your kids is a symbol of a society that is failing. So that's something that should be done. And
why? You got to explain something to me on the right that always confused. Well, it doesn't really confuse me, but I am curious on your take on it.
Yeah.
This, I agree with what you just said, that for all intents and purposes, kids ultimately are going to be the ones that take over society, and how those kids are raised and how society treats those kids, for all intents and purposes, is going to be indicative of what your society becomes.
Exactly.
That seems to be radically true, right? Like, obviously, your society can't prosper if the entire generation of kids just aren't born, or if those kids are maniacs.
Well, your society can't even exist. It will vanish.
So why are Republicans big on this idea of we want people to have kids, which is a requirement and necessary, but we don't want to take care of those kids those kids are formed? Like right now, Trump is talking about, well, we need to get rid of Social Security and Medicaid because we have wars to fight and we need to increase the budget. So, you know, and under no circumstances do they care about the upbringing of those children, whether it's the education of those kids, whether it's ensuring that people in the society itself are economically intact, especially when you're doing things that attack people's ability to make a living. I can show you the polling right now where the people, more than half, are saying our economic situation is worse. What do you think that does to families and kids, not just single parents, but dual parents? Marriages, what, 50% divorce?
Yep.
Many of those are either for health reasons, because they can't afford those things, or for economic reasons. Again, these are societal issues that are affecting the kids. This is my issue with what RFK is doing, right? Because the reality of it is, if people had economic security, many of these issues vanish. No. Much of crimes that are committed are directly related to people's economic circumstance, meaning it makes crime a rational act. That's a societal issue. That's a government issue in regards to policy. Right. Much of these things fall in line to policy. And so when you get to the Republican Party and they're like, we believe in abortions. And many of the abortion crowds are like, yeah. Well. And it's like, okay, but are you going to take the kids when we have them? No. You're on your own. Well, that is policy. That is standard, I would say, Democrat and Republican policy. But Democrats at the very least give a fig leaf. Republicans, no.
Well, it's because Democrats are more honest on this. Like Republicans, they go out and they talk a big game saying that I'm pro-life. You're great. Does that include dropping bombs on babies in Gaza? Does that include dropping bombs on babies in Russia or Ukraine? Does that involve just sanctioning the ever-living hell of a country like, say, Iraq, where a million babies die, and you have right. a Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, says, well, that's a sacrifice we are willing to make. Well, I'm sorry, you're not making that sacrifice. Someone else is making that sacrifice. So they're not pro-life at all. It is a lie to say that the Republican Party is pro-life. I'm pro-life. I'm so pro-life that I think that children should be murdered by their moms, and they all shouldn't be murdered by bombs and starvation. Agreed. That's a true pro-life position. Agree with it, disagree with it. It is what it is. But I try to be consistent with what is it I say.
It's hard, Robbie. In politics, that's hard.
Is it? It shouldn't be.
But it shouldn't be, but I agree with you.
Well, just like, for example, one of the things that people will come up to me and I get this a lot is like, well, Robbie, you say you're anti-abortion. What if the baby is conceived in a rape? I would still be against killing that baby because I'm against collective punishment. The baby is not responsible for the act that its father committed. Now, if you don't want to raise that baby, fine. Get up for adoption. Find someone who's able to take care of it, who's able to love it. But you don't kill a baby because of something that baby had no action in whatsoever. Does that make sense? Like, I'm against collective punishment as a whole.
I do understand the argument. And look, whether I agree with the premise that it's killing or not is irrelevant. It's consistent, which I accept. I accept, like many, look, I don't have to agree with people, right?
Sure.
For all intents and purposes, if they are consistent, credible, I accept it because I understand where they're coming from at that point. It's not like dealing with a political person where you will point out, I believe in pro-life. And then as you point out, F those children in Gaza, right? It's like, whoa. And by the way, that was Tucker Carlson's argument, right? He was like, how are these people who claim that they are pro-life or that they're Christians, and they're murdering all of these people abroad, and they seem to be perfectly okay with it.
And cheering it on.
Yeah. His thing was like, how do they mind the gap in this contradiction? And I think the reality of it is they don't see them as people. They're racist. I don't think they see them as people. So, no, Robbie, I appreciate your consistency. I appreciate it. Even if I disagree with it, I appreciate it.
Disagreement's good. Some of the things that people say in the chat, it's really kind of mixed. I don't know if you're watching it or not, but some people are like, Robbie's trying to force his beliefs on people. I don't think I'm trying to force my beliefs on anybody. I'm not advocating putting people in prisons and making them have kids. I'm not about setting up some kind of a theocracy. I am against killing innocent people. And there's no one more innocent on this planet than a baby, especially an unborn one. So I don't really understand how that's being controlling. And I don't understand how people – I'm going to use the term the left because I don't really know how else to describe it. Maybe the pro-abortion crowd. I don't understand how being pro-life to the point where I don't want them blown up by bombs, starved to death, or torn apart inside their mother's womb by an abortionist – is me trying to control somebody. Like how do you get there?
I can answer that, by the way.
Yeah, please do, because it baffles my brain.
Because from the standpoint, like, for one thing, you articulating it, it's not control. Just pointing it out. It's just you stating your beliefs, and the beliefs are consistent. So it is what it is. I think the point is, when you, if, let's take it to a political space. Let's take it from between us into a political space where they actually have power to do X or Y. I may not want a child, right? Yeah. Like if I'm living in some deep South place that has rules on abortion that basically say you can't get an abortion, or you are have to look at a transvaginal ultrasound before you have the abortion, and you have to pay for the transvaginal ultrasound, which is what they were doing in Virginia, by the way, okay. Where basically they were forcing women to look at the ultrasound before they had the abortion as a way, and to pay for it. It was outrageous. It's forcing women to bear a child that they don't want. How is that not control? Meaning, if it's my choice,
sure,
and I'm saying, I don't want a kid, and it is in the worst interest of this kid for me to have this kid, meaning society is worse off for having it. Again, like I said, I don't consider it killing. I don't consider it a baby at that point, which will be a disagreement between us, which is fair enough, right?
Sure.
But I'm saying the people who look at it in these terms, in the way that I look at it, are looking at it like, society is worse off for me to have this kid. This kid is worse off for me to have this kid. I don't want to have this kid. I don't want to bring it to term. I don't want to do any of that stuff. And you could say, hey, but you effed up and got pregnant. Fair enough. That's true. I don't want to have this kid. So you're effectively forcing me as a person with a certain level of determination in regards to a certain want of determination of my particular life,
yeah,
not bring a child to bear. It's that. It's control. It's exerting. It's state exerting control over the human body. Now, you could say, but that's murder.
Well, it
is. That would be the discrepancy. That would be the difference. That would be the discrepancy. And that's why people are saying, dude, you're trying to control people. These states are trying to control people. The idea that you're forcing me to look at something that I don't want to bring to bear is control.
Gotcha. So the counter argument I would have, we're just going to screw what Ted put here on the show notes. I mean, this is fascinating, honestly, because this is one of the things I've always wanted to talk to you about. Even when I used to talk to you on fault lines.
Yeah.
That discussion I had with Reese, that was epic. That was awesome.
Reese was, man, if I remember.
Oh, she was pissed.
Because Reese will go further than I would on this. Like, she is hardcore. Like, at a certain point, I'd be like, yeah, that's a baby.
She would go too far.
I don't know if Reese has that distinction, but go for it.
I mean, because, like, no, so here's the two things that I see that happens on the left. I'm kind of just trying to thread these back together. Again, I'm using the term left really broadly here because I don't know how else to define it. So one person says, well, one group of thought says, well, Robbie, you cannot be pro-life if you're not pro-immigration. I don't really understand how you say that, because I'm not advocating the mass murder of immigrants. I want them deported, be able to go back home and fix their countries. I don't want them to be slaughtered wholesale. So I don't really understand how you conflate those two arguments, especially if it's fundamentally an economic argument where if you want to raise wages, you need to have labor to be more scarce. The way that you do that is by increasing wages by making labor more scarce. So that's how you're able to fix this. If you want higher wages, you've got to be able to pay a premium for the work that's being done. If you pay people enough, they're going to do the work that they're going to do. Before I moved here to Montana, I was picking peanuts and cotton at a farm, getting paid $2 per pound to make sure that I was able to get diapers for my son, and lost that job to Mexican immigrants who are willing to work for 80 cents per pound. Right. So I don't really understand how you're able to square that, how you converge those two things. But to bring this thing back to abortion, by saying that your baby is inconvenient, well, what about if your special needs kid is inconvenient? Why can't you just opt that person out? Or why can't you say that if someone is mentally ill, or someone who's deficient in some way, or elder or elderly, where you draw the line between eugenics for eugenics' sake, because it's all about convenience, right? If you're able to kill a baby for convenience, then what's the difference between killing someone who's 8 years old because they are suffering from Down syndrome, or an old person because they're just simply a drain on society as a whole? But that's my concern. is how do you place a value on that life? Because
like nobody's saying you should murder adults. You should murder
a
eight-month-old baby, or you should murder special needs kids. Those things are tangible, real, and they exist. I'm saying that baby, that's the difference between us. I don't see it as killing a baby. It's killing a zygote. I don't see that thing as a baby. A baby is a form thing that is out the mother's womb that is breathing air.
Does it have human DNA?
That's not about having human DNA.
I'm trying to determine if it's a, if this unborn child in the womb, is it a human being or not? If the answer is yes, it has human rights.
If they take a cell from me and put it in a petri dish, that has DNA, that is not killing a person.
No, I agree. But this is a living, breathing organism that is growing.
It's not a breathing organism. It's a baby. I think that's the point that I'm making, Robbie. Something that is 4 months in gestation that will become a baby at some point is not the same thing as a baby that is breathing air. There's a difference in those things to me. And there's a difference in those things to a lot of people, which is why 60-70% of the population says abortion should be legal.
So then if you dropped a bomb on a Palestinian mother in the West Bank and you kill her and she's 5 months pregnant, did you just kill the woman or did you kill her and her baby too?
You killed the potential for a baby. You killed the woman, yes.
Okay. So then if this pregnancy goes to term, does that woman give birth to a dog or a cat or something else? Or does she give birth to a human child?
Nobody will argue with you that there is a potential for life. Now, the difference is, though, that the parent who says, I want an abortion, does not want that potential to life to become realized. Murdering a Palestinian mother who wants that child is murdering, effectively, that woman's, is murdering the existence of that child in the future.
But how do you know she wants the child? The
difference in these things. If you want to make the argument that because this can be a child, that it is a child, then fair enough. And that's why you're pushing for the abortion, for the non-abortion thing. That's not the way.
Life begins at conception. 100%. That just has to be a place where we disagree. The chat's going crazy. Like, Robbie, you're crazy. I don't think it's crazy about this.
And your beliefs, but I'm not a religious person in a sense.
Oh, for sure. But you're a person based in science. I mean, you're a scientific based person. I think that a place that we can agree on is that when a baby is a month old in the womb, that baby has its own blood, that baby has its own DNA, that baby has a heartbeat, that baby has brainwaves. What is it if not a living soul?
That baby can't live on its own.
So what? Neither can we. If you
take that baby out, all the medical science in the world can't keep that baby alive, quote unquote, baby, at 1 month. When that baby gets viable, then you and I agree. Meaning the moment that baby becomes a viable thing, where that baby can live on its own. And I think that's where Reese was like, an argument with Reese on this, because she was like, she's very hardcore on this.
Oh, yes. You came to Team Robbie on that call. That was wild.
I thought she went too far. Like, meaning, as I point out, this idea of you murdering the special needs kids is outrageous. Or this idea of murdering an old person because they're inconvenient is outrageous. When that child becomes viable, when you get to like 5 months, hell, 6 months, 7 months, et cetera, then you lose me, right?
Sure.
Then I become Team Robbie. And I'm like, you're going to do what? Right? You have to do that early on where I can make the case that that's a zygote. That's not a thing that can exist on its own. Meaning, there is a space where you and I would agree. Yeah. But in the very beginning, no. I care more about the mom. I care more about the situation that the mom is going to be in. And I care more about the mom's point of view up until that point. Full-blown thing.
Where would you cut it off at? Like, what would
you... Don't ask me that, Robbie.
100%. because if your argument is that that a mother can abort the baby to the point of viability, as science evolves, as science develops, and we're able to have children become more, you know, premature babies viable at early gestational period. Where do you draw the line? I mean, at the moment of viability. So what if viability becomes 20 weeks? After 20 weeks, you're done. You can't kill your baby anymore.
We'll have that conversation when it's 20 weeks.
Yeah, but I'm asking. But I'm asking you though. I mean, would
I'm saying? But it's not 20 weeks. That's not where we are.
Yeah, no, I.
Laws no, and not conform to where we are now.
Sure, you know no, I get saying? That.
Yeah,
I guess what I'm trying to figure out though is where is the line? Where is a place where we're never going to agree on this, but maybe though we can get to the point where abortion becomes more rare. If we're able to make it where people are able to afford to have families again, able to get wages, and abortion is used as a procedure because the mother's life is at risk and less because it's birth control. Because at the end of the day, though, you can't catch a pregnancy like you can a cold. I mean, you've got to do something to get there. I mean, there is some choice there. No, how did you get pregnant? I went to Walmart, you know, and I just caught a pregnancy there on the spaghetti aisle. That's not how it would be
an accident.
Exactly. I mean, it was the damnedest. I was at the subway. I didn't wash my hands, and I caught a pregnancy.
I want abortion to be rare.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't think it's like it's sacred, and that's the part that for me that I don't like Reese. That's what I don't understand. It's just like I can. This should be something to be proud of. I think it should be something.
She never said that.
I get that, Bobby, but that's the impression that I got, though. I can 100% be wrong. She's not here. She'd be asleep if she was, but I'm so mean.
Put it this way, she was aggressive in defending what she considered to be women's rights. And I can't falter on it. I just falter to the extent. That's all. Like in the same way that you and I disagree on the abortion thing in regards to viability and etc. Her and I disagreed on the same thing, right? It was this viability thing. Like at a certain point, it's like, dude, you're killing a baby. Like because at a certain point, it's a baby. Yeah, there's an emergence to me where that thing transitions into something that's.
When is that point? Because I've asked a lot of people on the left this, and again, I keep saying that word because I don't know how else to define it, right? If there's a better term, please tell me. Because
the left, right? I think it's the left that agrees with the abortion thing.
Yeah, because I guess the problem that I have is, you know, fine, fair enough. What's the line? Is it third trimester? Is when the baby is crowning? Is that when the cutoff line is? Is it 2 months? When does this person, when does this small human, when does that person earn the right to be called human and then become entitled to human rights?
That's a good question.
And no one has an answer. So that's why my default position is at the moment of conception, because at that point, I know you're human. You have value based on your humanity. It doesn't matter how developed you are, how old you are. It doesn't matter what state of life you're in. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white. You're a human being, and you deserve the right to life and the chance to the chance to grow up to be happy. You have that right as a human being. And if the left cannot answer that question, you know, when does this clump of cells become a human being with inalienable human rights that cannot be taken away without due process? Then your argument looks pretty freaking weak.
No, I disagree. Vinny, you're asking me.
Then define the term. When do human rights start?
Even define the term. You're asking me, when is the moment where the abortion at that point becomes untenable?
When does abortion become, stop being a medical procedure, become infanticide?
Yes, that's what you're asking me.
Yeah.
And I'm saying.
So give me a date, give me a time frame.
I know, but just because I don't know that specific time frame or that specific date, doesn't mean that the process is, meaning there are a lot of things that are gradients.
Sure.
Most things in life are gradients. There are some qualities that a person have where you will be milk toast. There's some that are more extreme.
Yeah. But it man shouts is ready to move on. Just like,
the point that I'm trying to make is, yes, I believe abortion should be legal. Yes, I believe that there's a time frame, there's a space in which it is a viable thing where that kid is not an adult and where the mom's choices matter more than whatever the clump of cells. I do believe that at a certain point, it becomes non-viable. Meaning, just because I can't give you a time frame, I know there's a space that time frame exists in. That doesn't violate the argument that is being made. The mom rights come first before that thing becomes viable. Full stop. I am perfectly clear on that. I have zero issue with that, right? If you're asking me at 8 months, should the mom be able to abort the kid? I'm going to say that's fucking outrageous, right? If you tell me at 7 months. But there's going to be a space. Most things in life function that way, where at a certain point it becomes something else. I'm saying this is the same true for this issue. We're always going to disagree on this. 100%. There's never going to be a place where I'm going to say, sure, the state should be able to come in and tell the mom and force the mom to carry a child. I think that is outrageous. People make mistakes. If they want to get an abortion, I think they should be able to. And by the way, society is better off. You may hate that response, but it's true. If you are forcing a parent to raise a kid, and then the Republican Party said, we don't give a shit about the kid after you're forced to raise, to bring it into this world.
Well, the Democratic Party doesn't care about the kid either. I mean, neither party cares. Let's just be honest about that. Neither party cares.
Yeah, neither party cares. I'm just pointing out, it's the Republican Party that's very vocal about this idea that we want to force people to raise, to carry children to term, whether they want to or not. That is outrageous. And then to follow it up with, we don't care about the kid the moment that the kid is born, the kid that we forced you to carry. I'm saying that is an outrageous, contradictory, ridiculous position for any political party to carry or any person to carry. And yet that is what the main state Republican Party argues. Democratic Party is full of shit too. Don't misunderstand me on this, right?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. So if you're asking me, or if you're using that as a tip of a spear in order to contradict, to go after the argument, I don't think that works. There's a space and time that I think people can look at and say, that's a clump of cells. There's another space and time where they can say, that thing has a head, a penis, it's breathing, it's right. A baby. There's, you know, when that point takes place, meaning there's going to be a space where you're like, oh, that's a gray area.
Right.
True. That doesn't contradict the argument.
Well, I mean, but chattel slavery, and then we'll move on. The argument was that black people weren't humans. Correct. That's the same argument that you're making right now. And I'm fundamentally opposed to that.
Robbie,
because either you're human or you're not.
Robbie, there's a difference between a 30-year-old man where they put a thing around his neck and they're arguing he is basically a cow.
Right.
When you know he is not a cow.
Sure.
And a clump of cells that you want to stop from coming into the world. One breathes, the other doesn't.
Are we clumps of cells?
Yes. Yeah, we are.
I rest my case. We're clumps of cells. And you could have a government that comes in and says, you know, I do not believe that Robbie West is entitled to due process or human rights because of his political beliefs. I think that what he says is over the pale, and he is a net drain to society, and he should be jettisoned from his mortal coil. What's the difference between that and saying that you can just send someone back to God because they're an inconvenience? I guess that's the problem. No, I know that you have it, but I mean, there are people though who would make that argument. The governments throughout nations throughout human history have made that very same argument. That's why racism is such a disastrous scourge. I hate it.
I know, Robbie, as I pointed out, there's a difference between people in a government looking at a human being mm-hmm. who can write, walk, jump, have sex, all that stuff, and saying that human being is a cow for all intents and purposes. And sure. A clump of cells that cannot be viable outside of the body that is not a baby at that point. Again, from my point of view and from my framing of it, these things are different. And trying to compare these things is a little bit weird to me. I don't know why you think these things are the same. I just don't.
No, I get that.
Yeah. I think these are radically different things. I don't even know how it applies. If you're saying that a state can make a determination because of abortion, basically mm-hmm. a state can say, well, if a state can kill a clump of cells or allow a woman self-determination sure. From her body, then the state can also turn around and kill Robbie. Obviously, I'm going to be against them killing you, Robbie.
I appreciate that because, I mean, I like you. I'm glad that you're
on my body. I can't do this. Yeah. God damn it. Protect Robbie.
protect your right wingers. I guess that what it is just, I think what it all just boils down to is when does your humanity start? Because that ultimately is going to determine when your human rights are going to be given to you, either legally or whatever else.
True.
And so that's where I tried to start this at. And also there are people talking about my SKS I've got over here on the wall. I've got a little rifle right there. And so people are like, how is it that you have a firearm whenever you're talking about your pro-life argument?
You defend your rights.
Well, for sure. And one of the reasons why I have this rifle here is because we've had problems with break-ins. And if someone breaks into my house, I'm going to send that person to go meet Jesus because that's a choice that they made. Actions have consequences. Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you are a home invader wearing an ICE uniform or if you're some thug who's breaking in trying to steal something that does not belong to you. That is why my Chinese SKS is here. If someone comes in, I'm going to solve that problem for them. And so... that is why that's there. No, people in the chat like, is that an SKS? Like, why does Robbie just have this rifle just casually resting on his wall? That is Robbie, the reason why.
In your ass, just be aware. Just be aware. Don't break it. Fair warning.
You will have a problem if you do, because I will make sure that you get some 7.62 by 39 lead poisoning. You will not enjoy the experience.
This is lead poisoning.
Robbie, I mean, this show is completely off. I love this. I love talking to you. And one of the things I love most about talking to you, honestly, uh-huh. is that, and I wish that more people would be able to realize this. It's a Chinese SKS. Is that people are able to disagree and still be friends. That's something that the American people have lost the ability to do. Like, our politics is so tribal. It's like, you must be on my side about everything.
Yeah.
Or you're not an opponent, or you're not a friend I can disagree with, but you're an enemy. And that is toxic.
It is toxic. It is toxic. And I agree with you. It's toxic. Yeah.
So we're going to talk about it. Oh, hell, is it 8 o'clock? We blew the entire show talking about abortion.
Yes. Yes. And I do have to bail out on this one because I have to get to another segment. But yes.
You're good.
I don't take issue with the conversation.
No, I don't.
And I understand that people will have differences in regards to the way they see the stuff.
This is one of the biggest disagreements that people are ever going to have is about life. When does life start and what's the value of life? And I think that one of the things that you have to do whenever you're talking about this issue is that you have to be consistent. Either consistently, and that, I think that's just a big part of the problem. I would love to come on your show one day and talk to you about some of the things that we disagree about or even agree about. That would be a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, look, if I ever need a right winger to come on the show, you're the man for the job. No, man, I don't take issue with it. I don't take issue with the conversations at all.
I don't either. People, we need to have more of them.
People can disagree. Like, meaning, look, the only thing I ever really take issue with in disagreeing with people who disagree has to do with whether or not they're being sincere. And if that makes sense. Like, meaning, if you're talking to a politico and the politico is effectively taking this position purely for a party reason or purely for some other reason, and it's hypocritical or contradicts something else. That's what I usually take issue. But from the standpoint of honest personal belief, people are people, right? They're going to have disagreements. They're going to have things. There will be things that will be deal breakers. Like if we're talking about Gaza and it's like, I think they should be murdering kids. Okay, I'm going to feel some kind of way about that, right?
Oh, so
under normal circumstances, we can have disagreements. Robbie, I'm going to have to leave.
Yep.
It's 10 o'clock. And I have another, I'm sure, attempt.
All right, brother.
Great conversation, man.
Hey, listen, I enjoyed it. I'm glad we were able to have this talk. There is no TMI today because without a Ted and without a Manila, you just have a Robbie, and nobody wants to just watch a Robbie. And so we're just going to pull the plug on this. We will see y'all on Monday. And let me see here. And we just got a donation. We'll end on this. From Johnny Comes Lately, you can't be pro-life and pro-war. That's just anti-abortion. I agree. That's why I'm opposed to both.
Robbie, you have a safe day, man. Be safe, okay? And for the audience, be safe, be kind, and we'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow morning.
Have a good one. Bye-bye, y'all.
Thank you.